Praise the living God. The presence of the Lord is here. Why don't we lift our hands together and thank Him that He's in this house with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise You this morning. We recognize that You are very present today. Hallelujah. Come on, let your voice out just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about lifting your voice. It releases your spirit. It releases your emotions. Hallelujah. 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 Sheka bahata de mahara katala hasha mahata la bahara bahata la bahasa de lebeheta taya. Woo! Praise the living God. Ilo bohosha la mahata ya la bakoya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turning your attention to John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. It is a delight to be back with you in Hurst, Texas, and to feel the presence of the Lord. My wife and family could not come this time, but they are at home and sending their prayers. And I know God's going to do something very special today. I feel a special touch from the Lord. There's a healing touch today. There's a healing flow in this house. And if you have come to this place needing a miracle from God, you can leave here with a miracle from God. It is God's perfect will to give every single person in this place exactly what you need today. Hello, somebody. It's God's will for you to go home with everything you need from Him today. And it's just up to us how aggressive we want to get, how hungry we are. And I have found that when I lift my voice and pursue God aggressively, so many more things are available. So many more things are available. I give honor to Pastor Shindall and Sister Shindall. I thank God for them. I thank God for their friendship. How many of you love your pastor and his wife and family? I thank God for them. I just feel a peace when I get around them. There's a spirit of peace on them. And there's a peace flow through his life. He calms me somehow. I don't think I'm medicated or anything. I think it's just the spirit of the Lord flowing through him. And he takes me to Papa Do's, so that just makes me happy. Hallelujah. John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37, one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Slap your neighbor and say, "You got to go to him." "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said," so that tells me there's a way to believe on Jesus that is not scriptural. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly," or innermost being, "shall flow rivers of living water." Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded what Jesus did. John wrote down what he thought. He understood the thoughts of Jesus behind the words. In parentheses, John said, "But this spake he of the Spirit." Everybody say the Spirit. "Which they that believe on him should receive." Everybody say receive. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 38. The Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive." Everybody say receive. "The gift of the Holy Ghost." For how many of you, that was the greatest moment in your life when you got the gift of the Holy Ghost? "Who is it for? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I want to preach to you a very simple message this morning, moving from believer to receiver. Moving from believer to receiver. One more time before we're seated, can we lift our hands and our voices unto the Lord? And let's ask Him to do exactly what He wants to do with us today. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority of the Word of God, By the power of the name Jesus, I release the gift of faith into every heart, into every mind. Open every eye to see and every ear to hear what thus saith the Lord. Loose our minds from skepticism and preconceptions and inhibitions and fears. Loose us into the faith that God can do anything today if we only believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Would you shout, in Jesus' name? Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord, and let's praise Him before we're seated. Hallelujah. 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 Shalabahate alabahaya. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Give three people a high five before you're seated. Tell them, you are my favorite person on earth. You can be seated. There is a difference between simply believing in the promises of God and actually receiving the promises of God. There is a difference between saying you believe in the miracle power of Jesus Christ and actually experiencing that miracle power for yourself. In the Old and New Testaments compared, you can see that receive, the word receive in all of its form, is found 87 times. In the New Testament, the word receive in all of its forms is found 267 times. There are reasons for this. In the Old Testament, God was sowing the promises. In the New Testament, God was reaping the results of those promises. They believed the promise. Everybody say, they believed the promise. In the Old Testament, we receive the promise. In the New Testament. It's interesting to know that as faithful as they were in the Old Testament, the promises of God we have now were not available to them. They saw something a long ways off that they could never get their hands on. Hebrews tells us these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Again, in Hebrews 11, verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided for us some better thing, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they believe God for the promise in spite of the fact they can never grab it for themselves. And when you look in our churches today, there are a lot of good people who profess the philosophy. Everybody say, the philosophy. The philosophy of Christianity. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord. Do good to your enemies. They have the philosophy of Christianity, but when they step into the presence of the Lord, they are content to only believe in the promises of God without actually receiving them. I want to tell you that the day of just looking at the promises afar off are over. You can actually experience the miracle power of Jesus Christ. When you enter into His presence, you can have every miracle that God promised in His Word. That's why when you come to church, you ought not just sit there and watch. You ought to get involved in what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, because anything is possible to them that believe. Now, Pentecostals are peculiar compared to other denominations. I was on a flight from Orlando to Dallas, and I sat next to a 23-year-old man. His name was TJ. He goes to Baylor University here in Texas, and he said, what do you do? Because I asked him what he does. I have trigger questions, and typically if you ask a trigger question, they will ask you the same question. I said, hey, what do you do? And he told me what he did, and he said, hey, what do you do? And I said, that's exactly what I wanted you to ask. I am a preacher. And he said, really, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I am a Pentecostal preacher. And he said, oh, people kind of get a little bit, oh, okay, you know, I've heard about you guys. He said, what makes Pentecostal different from other denominations? And I turned and laid my hand up. No, I'm just kidding. I did not do that. I wanted to. So I explained to him, after telling the doctrine side, I was able to tell him Jesus' name baptism. I was able to explain Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and on, where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. If they take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If they take up serpents, it's not going to hurt them. They shall lay hands. All these different signs are given to the believers. And he said, wow, I didn't know there was a list of signs for people who believe in Jesus. And he said, so you're telling me that Pentecostals are people who look for the signs that confirm they are believers. And I said, exactly. I said, it seems interesting that some people are willing to go to church without demanding proof of their experience with God. Well, I just hope I'm saved. Are you kidding me? Well, I just hope God's going to heal me. I hope God can do it. Are you serious? Imagine if the pilot of the plane came and got on the intercom and said, well, we've not done any deep inspections in the mechanics of the airline, and the mechanic couldn't come, and so we're just kind of hoping the engines work to get us to Orlando. What would you be doing? You would get off that plane. You would hit somebody, elbow somebody. You wouldn't care. You would have the police come escort you out. You would get off that plane because you were not guaranteed to arrive safely. What's wrong with us in this world when we can say, well, I just hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm okay. Listen, you ought to demand the signs of the believers that say, I can be found in the book of Acts chapter 2. That's me right there. When I got the Holy Ghost, I spoke in tongues. When they baptized me, they used the same words that they used in the New Testament. I've received a miracle just like they did. My body was healed just like theirs was. My life was changed because of the power of Jesus Christ. And I said, TJ, also, besides doctrinally, we're a little bit more wild than other churches. We don't act like other people act in church. We're a little bit crazy, especially for people who have never been around this type of church. When people walk in, they see people running for no reason. There is a Pentecostal. Nobody's chasing him. Nobody threatened him. Nobody said they're going to get him. He just wants to run because he feels like running. It's the only way he can express how he feels about the Lord. And so, when you see this happening, especially if you've never been around it, I've seen people's eyes. Now, they're trying not to be too conspicuous, but sometimes it just overwhelms them. They're like, and they always look at the exit to make sure they have a clear path. Guests can sometimes be taken aback in our churches. There's somebody crying for no apparent reason over there. There's somebody laughing hysterically for no apparent reason over there. There's somebody speaking gibberish over in the corner by themselves, rocking. And then there's this person that's doing all of it all at the same time. Welcome to Pentecostal Church. You never know what's going to happen. And if you go to a Pentecostal church, thank God this is not one of them, but if you can go to a Pentecostal church where you know step one, step two, step three, we're going to go, you ought to leave that church and go find you one where something spontaneous, something all of a sudden can come upon you and move you. I want you to do whatever you feel right now. If you've got the Holy Ghost, why don't you just do whatever you feel in the Lord? You can dance. You can shout. You can talk in tongues. You can do whatever you want. Praise ye the Lord. You can be seated. I think I told this story before here, but it's worth telling again. I had the opportunity to preach in a Methodist church. First and only time I preached in a Methodist church. And I'd heard about the Methodists, but I've never been in their churches. And when I went there, my bishop was preaching. The pastor had received the revelation of the oneness of God, Jesus' name baptism, wanted us to come and teach the people. And so my pastor's preaching, and he's asked me to come to pray people through and work the altar. So I came, my wife came. I'm sitting on the front row, and my pastor says something like, "God wants to heal you." And I said, I stood up, "Amen." I forgot I was in a Methodist church. And nobody was looking at my pastor. They were staring at me like, "Is it legal? Was that an illegal move?" Some people, I promise you, they were glaring at me. Most people were just surprised and slightly concerned for me. And I told myself, I said, "Joey, you're not in a Pentecostal church. You're in a Methodist church. Calm down. Don't freak out the people." And 5 minutes later, I forgot that whole conversation. My pastor said something like, "God wants to save everybody today and fill you with the Holy Ghost." And I stood back up and I said, "Hallelujah." And this time, I wasn't alone. An elderly gentleman, I guess he could just care less what anybody thought at that stage of his life, he stood up behind me and he said, "Amen." And a lady looked at him and stood up next to him, and she kind of answered his question.
"Amen."
And so we had me and two people behind me clapping and saying amen. And as the service went on, I could tell people decided, "I'm going to test the water. I'm going to see what it feels like to shout something, a praise to God in church." And as I was watching the people, I watched them. I don't think they've ever done it in their life, but somebody stood up and they said, "Praise God." And another person over there stood up and started clapping their hands and saying, "Hallelujah." And can I tell you, at the end of that service, we had two Methodist folks receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They got the Pentecostal Spirit just like we have the Pentecostal Spirit. And so, that was Wednesday night. We were doing a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday revival. Thursday night we came and things were a little bit looser. There was just a flow that wasn't there on Wednesday night. Instead of them watching me to see what I was doing, something got a hold of them and they wanted to be the first ones out of their seats. Now, this was an elderly church. It was about 30 people, old country church in the hills of Florida. And everybody there, they're over 60. And so there was not any kind of young anything going on, but there was something. There was a young spirit that came on them. There was a fire that got a hold of them because a door opened for them, and they realized we can be an entirely different church. And they started praising God in that service, and they would clap their hands and reach over and lay hands on another person's shoulder. And that service, we had 8 more Methodist folks receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. And then Friday night came around, and people were... Now, they were taking it to the next level. They actually got out of their pew. Something got a hold of them that said, "What I want to do for Jesus cannot be contained in my seat." Sometimes the spirit of praise will come upon you and you cannot sit there any longer. You can't stay cooped up and hemmed in any longer. You got to get out from where you are and praise ye the Lord. Friday night we had 12 more folks get the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And so, at the end of that service, I said, "If you need a miracle, come on up." Because twice in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Come. If any man thirst, let him come." Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You got to get up from where you are and come. My whole purpose in being here today is to preach the word of God and get you, get out of your seat and come up. That's my whole purpose. I want to get you out of where you are. There's something about a physical walk of faith. I'm leaving where I am, and I'm going to go up there, and everybody's going to be watching, but who cares? The devil will try to tell you people are going to make fun of you. People will think you're needy. People will think you're all mad. Who gives a care about what the devil thinks or what anybody else thinks? They didn't set you free. They didn't wash your sins away. They didn't break the chains in your life. If you can get out of your seat and come up to this front, God's going to do for you what he did for them in the New Testament. Everybody that got a miracle left from where they are and went to where Jesus was, and if we do the same thing now, we'll get the same results they got then. And this gentleman came up. His name was Fred. Fred was in the military. He had a bomb explode next to his ear or something of that nature. He told me kind of in a nutshell, his ear, his right ear was totally destroyed on the inside. The eardrum was not working. He could not hear. God healed that man's ear right in front of everybody in that Methodist church. And he didn't react. He didn't freak out. He didn't do anything. He just kind of cried a little bit. And he told everybody, he just turned around politely. He said, I can hear out of this ear now. I can hear. And his wife said, I don't believe it. And she went over on the right side of his head and began to whisper. And Fred repeated to her what she had whispered. And she said, great. There goes all my secrets on the right side of his head. God had healed Fred. And one miracle after another began to happen in that service. Why? Because people started realizing there's something to standing up and lifting your hands. There's something that happens to you and to God when you physically get involved with praise in the house of the Lord. I'm sorry for the people that just refuse to stand up. I'm sorry for you. Those of you that maybe you've got a physical problem, you ought to at least throw your hand up or wave a pinky or something. Somehow you've got to get physically involved with Jesus. That's why the Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants your physical body involved. Imagine a marriage if the physical body was not involved in the love process. Imagine if I never kissed my wife. Baby, you just know how I feel. You know how my heart beats for you. Let's kiss. No, no, no. That's not how I show love. Let's hold hands. Oh, no, 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 no. I just want you to feel it. Who are you kidding, you stinker? You can't show God love and sit like a lump on a log. Hello, somebody. If you say you love the Lord, yeah, your mind's going to be involved. Yes, your voice is going to be involved. Yeah, there's going to be emotion involved. But at some point, it should be every day, you got to get your body involved. You got to get your hands involved. What am I talking about? I'm trying to help us move from just being a believer to a receiver. If you can get out of your comfort zone and praise the Lord with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, God will come to you. Why don't we try it for a moment? Why don't you just kind of tune everybody else out and let it all go for a moment? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Believer to receiver. Do it again. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Just do it again. You know what I have found in our churches? You may be seated or stand. I don't care what you do. You know what I found in our churches and among people in general? Sometimes when they have a question from God and they cannot find the answer, or they're dealing with a situation in their life that is hurting them, they withhold their praise from God. And they'll make up in their mind, well, when God fixes it, I'll praise him. When God changes my situation, then I'll pray. Preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. That's why I'm sitting here like this. Let me tell you something. If you're going through something today, anybody going through something? Anybody fighting a little bit of devil or something? If you're going through something, you ought to praise him all the more. You ought to be the first one to your feet. You do. What we do to praise the Lord is not predicated on how we feel. You don't have to feel God. You don't have to feel a goosebump. You don't have to feel an invisible hand. If you're going through something, it's a perfect time to show the Lord, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. Good times and bad times. High times and low times. I will praise the Lord. Ah, do it again. Let your voice out. Let it build into a flow for a moment. Yay! Well, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Let it out. Ata atala hatala. Shekadala karakatala kareshala mahatale bahaya. Woo! Some of you are dealing with a big giant in your life. And he is standing between you and your promise. There is a devil guarding that new level. And he stands before you and dares you to try to take him down. Some of you are fighting things in your marriage you never thought you would fight. Some of you are fighting things at your job you never expected to fight. Some of you are dealing with financial hits that are taking your breath away. And that devil is standing there saying, where is your God now? Where's your provider now? Where's your healer now? I thought he was always going to be with you. You don't feel him, do you? And he is standing there mocking you. And there is a lesson to learn. When David stepped onto the battlefield to take out Goliath, who was the first one he actually fought? He fought his brother. He had to deal with his own brother before he took the giant down. And this is a sad reality. It's a reality easy to overcome, but it's a sad reality that in our churches, there are people who are offended by those who aggressively pursue God and could care less what anybody thinks about them. And sometimes you have to actually overcome the doubt of the person next to you and the unbelief of the person next to you before you can step out onto the battlefield and say, now I'm going to take this thing out. I'm going to praise God with all of my might. Sometimes you got to shake off the influence of the people around you and say, giant, this is my day. It's God going to give me the victory today. I'm going to overcome you today, and I want to release you now. If somebody's around you, and thank God it's a minority in this church, but if somebody's around you and they're not showing the kind of passion that you feel like showing, dismiss them. Get away and do what you want to do in the presence of the Lord. Goliath, you're coming down. You are coming down. Shababayala Mahata.
Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Do what you feel. Do what you feel. Do what you feel.
I'm just feeling this wave of faith hit me right now. I'm feeling a wave of passion from you people. I'm feeling an aggression coming out of your mouth, coming out of your spirit. You can have what you need from God. You can receive what you need from God. I rebuke every spirit of unbelief. I curse every spirit of skepticism. You can receive it. If you believe it, you can receive it. But you must act on what you believe. You must act on what you believe. How do you act on it? You act on it by getting out of your seat. You act on it by lifting your voice. You act on it by praising the Lord with all your might.
Would you reach over and lay hands on somebody right now? The Holy Ghost is just kind of moving. Would you reach over and put your hands on somebody and pray over them now? God, help them to move from believer to receiver. God, help them to move from believer to receiver. God, help them to move from believer to receiver. God, whatever may hinder them, break it. Whatever may inhibit them, break it. Whatever may be chaining their voice down, whatever may be holding back their praise, break it. Break it. Move from believer to receiver.
I release to you the gift of faith. It's here right now. The angels are here right now, ministering, working, moving. I release to you the gift of faith. I release to you the gift of faith to receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ.